Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Happy New Year. And it is a cold day, if I've ever seen one. I was driving in this morning and I had to stop and get some gas. And I felt my whole body freezing. And Caleb and Bobby were inside the car just looking at me as I was getting gas. And so they were, I guess, supportive in their own way. But it is a joy to be here this morning, and I tell you what, every time it's cold, I can't help but think of many over here on my right side who had to sleep out in this weather. And I also rejoice in those that God has brought off the streets. I think about Bobby, who's running our sound this morning. There's a story where he had to wrap himself in toilet paper to stay warm one winter, and also Brett, who works in our kitchen, we're so thankful to God for him. Last winter during the ice storm, he had about a foot of snow on top of him. I've never seen anything like that, and so we rejoice that God has delivered so many from the elements and from homelessness, and it's an encouragement just to continue this great work here at the Main Street Church of Christ. Let us begin with a word of prayer, and so let's enter into God's presence together as a congregation. Father, we come before you, we confess our unworthiness. Lord, we are amazed at your limitless grace and power that you have lavished and demonstrated your love to unworthy sinners and wretches such as us. We come, Lord, to express our thanksgiving, to worship you, to glory in Christ. And Father, we're beyond thankful for the gift of another year, for this time that you've given us. And dear Lord, we ask for power from the Holy Spirit that we might live to the glory of God, that we might see wonderful things in our generation like so many of our fathers have seen in past generations. Father, look upon us and smile and bless us. Father, use us, and may this congregation be enlarged and spiritually enriched for your glory. Come meet us, Father, this morning. Come into our gathering this morning. There's no other blessing that we seek other than your presence. Father, would you give me the ability to explain and to feed your precious sheep? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, New Year's is a very special time of year for many reasons. We celebrate the opportunity to enter into a brand new year. And what a reason to rejoice, to give thanks to God for such a great gift. For time is the most costly commodity. It can neither be bought or sold. Once it is lost, it cannot be replaced, and the most powerful and rich men and women of the world cannot extend their lives for 1 second. It is the supreme gift of God to His creation. As we receive this precious gift of a new year, we should do so with a sense of awe and reverence for our Creator. I was reading just recently in Genesis, the creation account, and how the Almighty breathed into our first parent life and the breath of His Spirit. He breathed into dust and gave the precious gift of life. What an indescribable honor it is to be alive. And also, for the Christian, we are a new creation. The Lord Jesus has breathed into us. He has poured out His Spirit on us, and we have been born again, and we've entered into this new life. What a gift this is, and how many around the world would do anything to sit in our position this morning, to be a member of the body of Christ, to know Jesus Christ. And I think about perhaps more solemn, to consider those who have already deceased, and even the condemned. What would they do to be able to be alive this morning, to have the opportunity to seek first the kingdom of God, the opportunity to repent, the opportunity to live and serve the Creator? Life and time is so precious. We rejoice for this new year that God has given us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15 through 17, Paul says these words to the Ephesian church. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And so, during this time of contemplation, we consider the fleeting nature of this life, that we are like a tent that is quickly rolled up in the night, that we're like a mist that if you try to grab a hold of it, you can't do it. And you might ask this question: where did 2021 go? It seemed like we just started the previous year, and it's gone before a blink of an eye. And so this is a time of reflection. I particularly love New Year's because culturally it is an important time for those in the United States to evaluate their life, to consider the course of how things are going, and then potentially to make adjustments. Sometimes life is like a stream, and we get pulled by its current. Before long, we look around and we don't recognize where we are. Life so quickly becomes busy, and we become weighed down by its cares and demands. And there is a need to stop and reorient yourself, to reorder and consider the path and the life choices that we've made, and those roads that we've turned down. And New Year's is a time when people consider their life and make resolutions as to how to improve and better themselves. It's a time when people, for a brief moment, cast light in areas of their life that have been in darkness. And there is a thrust and an effort which is made to re-examine and to make necessary adjustments. If you study famous individuals, Christians and non-Christians, you'll find that in many cases, these individuals have made resolutions which govern and constitute their life, that keep them on a straight and narrow path focused on their goals. Jonathan Edwards was perhaps one of the greatest minds that this country ever produced. As a young man, he made a series of resolutions which set forth the course of his life. And if you go back and read some of these resolutions, it is a little wonder why he achieved such great things to the glory of God, because he was a man who had put down these laws that governed the course of his life. And so most commonly, this expresses itself in our culture regarding health, our physical well-being. As for the church, this is a subject that we don't address enough. We don't speak along these lines. gluttony and indulgence and sloth, if you will, are the great sins of the United States of America. If we don't get proper sleep, if we don't eat healthy food as God has created it, if we don't get routine exercise on a regular basis, we are robbing ourselves of the precious time which God has given us. And we're opening the door for all kinds of evil and disease and sickness and unnecessary suffering. And so this has been the downfall of many preachers and ministers of the gospel, that they have destroyed the temple of God, which is their body. And so if we neglect our health, we're not only robbing ourselves, but in fact, we're robbing God, who's we are. He owns us, and He has the right to use our body, and we were created and given a body and given this time in order to bring great glory to God. And so the primary motive for the Christian to be healthy and to make considerations like the rest of the country is not vanity, right? It's not just to look better, but right, we want to be strong and healthy so that we can exert our full strength to the glory of God. And this is important, for the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." And so the apostle points out here that physical training is of some value, and this is something that we should also consider as Christians as we enter into this next year. But also, as a Christian, and we come to this idea of New Year's, it's exciting to look at the inner man. It's exciting to look at our spiritual health and to consider ways in which we've fallen short, and then come with a blank slate to this new year and to desire and to seek the Lord in order that we might discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, in order that we might be a sharpened sword in the hands of our God. One of the greatest expositors of the 19th century was asked, "What is your secret? What makes you such a mighty man of the Word of God?" His response was simple. He said, "Hard work." And so many times as we view religion, we disconnect ourselves from logic and practicality. When we look at the world, we understand what is necessary to achieve goals. We understand hard work, but when it comes to Christianity, sometimes we just can't connect the dots and understand the essential nature of offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, of applying discipline in order that God might help us to mature and grow and produce fruit for Him. And so I think the Apostle Paul would agree with that statement, that it requires hard work if we want to be successful and fruitful in the kingdom of God. And so this morning, I say these things with a great deal of humility. I look back over the past year, and it's so easy for me to look at myself and to see the ways that I have not lived up to my own expectations and my own desires. I come in brokenness. I come like a priest under the old covenant who, in his own weakness, can sympathize with the weakness of Israel because he himself is a broken and sinful individual. And so this morning, as we enter this new year, we should come with a sense of humility. As we try to understand and focus on our own weakness, I'd like us to look at Matthew chapter 26 in verse 41. The setting there, this is one of the most critical hours of history in which Jesus is interceding in the garden before his crucifixion. And of course, you remember the request that he makes of his disciples that they would pray with him. Look at these words in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 41. Jesus says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And how relevant this is as we consider desires that we've had in the spiritual and even in the physical realm. We have a desire to pray. We have a desire to be disciplined. But these words ring out that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I believe this is the same sentiment that Paul gets out in the seventh chapter of Romans when he talks about the desire to do what is right, but not having the ability to carry it out. He focuses here on the weakness of the flesh. How many countless resolutions are made in this country and they only last a week or 2 weeks? We can all testify. We are experts in this subject. We understand that the flesh is weak. And so any resolution that is made in the flesh will fail. All those who trust in the flesh will be put to shame. And so if we desire to eat healthier to the glory of God, even in small things, even in things that we might consider to be of a fleshly nature, if we have a desire to have power over sin, if we have a desire to be mighty in prayer, to shape history, to become an intercessor, to intercede for this community, to intercede for this church, if we have a desire this next year that we might be emboldened, that we might be liberated to share our faith with this community, maybe we have a desire entering into this new year to cultivate our spiritual giftedness. We know that God has gifted us in certain areas, but we just haven't applied ourselves. We haven't given ourselves with all of our strength to these different giftednesses. And then maybe we have a desire just in simple spiritual discipline. We have the willingness to put down our smartphone, maybe to turn off the TV and to pick up the book of books and to read and to be fed with this heavenly bread. Maybe we have this same desire to pray more. And I want you to consider this question. Why is it so difficult to read and to pray? Why is it so difficult to follow through on all these different resolutions that we make? I want to warn you by way of caution that our great enemy, that Satan, he is fully aware that prayer and study equal the demise of his kingdom. He knows that if we are to be successful, that his kingdom will be destroyed and that the church will be greatly advanced and the kingdom of God will come down. There is no one who has patterned themselves after this blessed one in Psalm 1 who truly can delight in the law of the Lord continually day and night. This person is going to prosper. There is no sun that is hot enough. There is no desert that is going to destroy this prosperous one, this tree, but it is going to yield fruit in its season if we can only apply ourselves to this meditation upon the Word of God. And so once again, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to go back to this story in Matthew 26, and I want you to look at what distinguishes and consider with me what distinguishes Jesus Christ from the disciples, right? He told them to stay awake, to watch and pray, to intercede that they might not fall into temptation. And of course, we see put on full display the weakness of the flesh in this story. But Christ was different. He was able to intercede with loud cries and petitions with authority and power in the Holy Spirit. What a picture here of the power of God working through the Son of God. Sometimes as we think of Jesus Christ and we think about Christology, which is the study of the person of Jesus Christ, sometimes we have wild and unbiblical views about Jesus. And sometimes we think that Jesus did things in this world by just snapping his fingers, kind of like magic or maybe in a mystical way. But the scripture is clear that Jesus emptied himself of divine prerogatives. He became a man. He was just like us in every way. And the miracles which Jesus did were done by the power of God. He performed great things in this life. He prayed with great power, and he did these things in the same way in which he expected his followers to do those things in the future, the same way in which he expects us to do these things today. He did these things by the Holy Spirit. And so we see the disciples who failed in the flesh by the resolutions that they had to pray, but we see a victorious Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit who was able to intercede and pray. And I believe this is a powerful illustration to us as we desire to make changes in our lives. And also, I think it's important that we consider Peter, right? And the resolutions that he made, the boasting in the flesh that he would never deny Jesus. And of course, we see how pitiful and how weak this man was, this man of great zeal. And so regardless of how zealous you are, regardless of your will and dedication and all of your powers, we do not have the ability to follow through in the kingdom of God, even in the smallest things. But also consider Peter after Pentecost. Here's a totally different man who now is carried by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's been clothed with power from on high, and now he has strength to carry out those things that he did not have the ability to do before. And so how true it is that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And so with this knowledge, we are to come into this new year with great humility. We are to recognize that God can do more in a moment than we can do in 1,000 lifetimes. And so I want us to consider this text as well and to adopt this mindset in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul says these words, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." We get a picture here of the Apostle Paul and his outlook upon the Christian religion. It is one of a progressive movement forward, focused on Christ, one of spiritual growth. We might think of a young man in middle school, and we think about how he grows in strength and wisdom and stature as he enters into high school. This is a picture of the Christian life, and this is our desire to grow in godliness, to move forward. And these words are powerful. This idea of forgetting what lies behind. And if we were to ask the question, what prevents us from moving forward, from reaching new heights of spirituality, of reaching these resolutions and these goals that we would like to achieve, I believe that it is clearly the past. Some of us have trouble forgetting the past, whether it's sins and guilt, whether it's abuse and all these different things that we carry around like a load of bricks. The apostles' clear teaching is that we are to forget these things. Paul was the worst of sinners. Don't you know that the accuser tried to come and plant these seeds of discouragement and unworthiness and guilt as he brought before him scenes of his persecution of the church of Christ. But Paul had the ability to leave these things in the past and to strain and strive and to run forward to Jesus Christ. As we also consider this morning, what keeps us from reaching our goals and our resolutions? This morning, I would like to submit to you that it is the sin of unbelief, this great sin that is stressed so much by our Lord in the New Testament, this great sin of unbelief. This is what hinders the church from reaching its potential. And so some operate and live their lives in unbelief. They worship a very small God who gives little grace and power. At the same time, they give far too much faith and reverence to the enemy. And as they look to the future, as they look to this new year, they are filled with a sense of dread. It is parallel to the dread that Israel had, that overwhelmed the camp of Israel as the Philistines, as the enemies of God made war against them. This dread and unbelief, discouragement, and this feeling of helplessness, it is all from the root of unbelief. And so based on their outlook, one would have to believe that the devil was the author of history. Among the unbelieving, all they see is the power of the evil one and the rulers of this world who have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. But among the believing, among the remnant, the faithful, those that know the God of the Bible, we trust and believe in a sovereign God in heaven who laughs at the enemies of God. And we understand that even our sovereign God raises up Pharaoh in order to demonstrate his glory. And anywhere where evil powers are raised up, where the enemies of the church prosper, it is for the glory of God. And so when we look into the new year, we are optimistic, and we do so in faith. And so some make resolutions and vows in unbelief. Their eyes are on the strength of man and in the power of sin. They're like Peter, who, when he looked away, he saw the wind and the waves, and they're gripped with fear and terror. And so this type of resolution will fail every time if we make resolutions in unbelief. We must believe that God has come to call the wretched, that he has chosen the weak things of the world. If a church ceases to believe that God has great things in store for them, they cease to be a biblical church. If we do not believe that God has reserved spectacular things for the Main Street Church of Christ, we need to go home. Because when we assemble in the name of the Almighty and disbelieve Him, we are only here to arouse His anger. We serve the God who created all things. Those who have done great things for God have been little children who believed in the almighty power of God. And I want to test this morning. I want to challenge our faith. I want to challenge my own faith. Do you have an expectation? If you truly have biblical faith, you should have an expectation that God is going to do wonderful things. Do you believe, for example, that God's will this year for you, He is going to conform you to a greater degree to the image of Jesus Christ? Do you expect these things? Are you longing? Are you anticipating? Are you waiting to be made more like Jesus Christ? Do you expect growth in the body of Christ? Is there an expectation to see this congregation, not other churches, but this spiritual body grow in both numbers and in spirituality? This faith is of the same substance as that of David, who had the audacity to believe that the living God could give the champion of the Philistines into his hands. Do you understand how spectacular, otherworldly this faith, which God is requiring us to have as we walk by faith into this new year? We must believe great things of our God if we are to be found to be pleasing in his sight. This faith that is required of God for His people in our generation is no less scandalous. It is an object of ridicule even within the assembly of God. Can you imagine as David marched forth boldly how the unbelieving taunted and disbelieved that he had the authority and the power from the living God to take down this great enemy, Goliath? And we are to have this same supernatural, mountain-moving faith that is necessary among the faithful in every generation. We are to believe that it is in this year that we have the ability to take hold of the promises of God. We should have an expectation to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. We should have an expectation to see dead men live, spiritually dead, be born again and brought into the kingdom of God. We should have an expectation to see Goliath's slain. There should be an expectation among the congregation of Christ to see the Red Sea part in order that we might walk through on dry ground. There should be an expectation to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. There should be an expectation to see God's name glorified in all the earth. This year, I hope that you trust by faith that this is a year of breakthroughs. This is a year that, like Hannah, who has waited for many years in prayer and faith that she would receive a son, that this would be that year. We must enter this year with a sense of spiritual confidence and boldness. that like that tree that Jesus describes in the gospel that had not borne fruit for years, and then it was given fertilizer, that it was then to produce fruit, we should trust and expect God to do great things in our midst. And we should, like the apostle, strain forward towards the goal in confidence for all the promises that are before us. We should long to see souls added to the kingdom of God. What joy it is to be alive and to have an opportunity. Consider how many people are going to be brought to the Lord, even within this congregation. What excitement that is, as God has given us a year to seek and save the lost. We should rejoice already for those which God is going to save through this spiritual body. We should rejoice for the deeper knowledge of God that He is going to supply, for the victories that Jesus is going to give to His church at Main Street. We should also rejoice for the opportunities to suffer for Him, that He's going to provide for us in this new year for the sake of His glory. We should rejoice for the advancement of His kingdom and also for the opportunity to take hold of the promised land and the various promises that are given in Scripture. I'm so excited this year to apply myself wholeheartedly to this mission, to this church. I'm excited to push the discipline of prayer for us to be able to start meeting on a more regular basis in prayer meetings. To seek revival. There are countless examples, if you study the history of the United States of America, of revivals, of mighty outpourings of the Spirit of God. They are too numerous to count. I expect God to do that for us. I expect God to do that for this church as we pursue Him in prayer. I mean, I'm excited about starting prayer meetings. I'm excited about the different plans that we have to remodel our congregation. That's something I don't always talk about much because I'm focused on seemingly on spiritual things. But there are many people who are working. There are people who have already lined up to donate financially. There are people that are simply waiting for us to be able to remodel our congregation in order that we can bring glory to God, and that we can also perhaps even this summer bring children from the community into this congregation to have vacation Bible school. I'm excited for these opportunities that lie before us. I'm excited for the opportunity to continue to serve the homeless, in order for God to take this ministry to the next level. I am excited in order to see the ways that God is going to use our radio ministry and prosper it and bless it. I am encouraged by those that God has sent us for Bobby and his work for the media ministry and all the different stories and videos that he is creating. I can't wait in order for those to bless many people, and I'm excited for this church to grow closer in unity, to work side by side as one man, striving to further the gospel and the cause of Jesus Christ. And I can't wait for all the people that God is already preparing for us to reach out to this community and to do great things for us. And I hope this morning that you are encouraged when much of our country lives in unbelief, in fear and in dread, because they're looking at the power of Satan. And I have to confess that he is great and terrible, but there is no comparison to the surpassing power and the greatness of our God. And I hope this morning that you can resolve to enter this new year in faith, to forget what lies behind, our shortcomings, the vows that we have made before the Lord and our failure, that we can trust the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to pray and to read the Bible. I cannot do it in my own strength. We cannot do these things by our own power, but God, the Almighty, King of the universe, He will empower us to be like those in Psalm chapter 1 who commit themselves wholeheartedly, and He will prosper us. He will bless us. He will give us the ability to make resolutions and to carry those things forward. God does not start a building. He does not lay a foundation that He does not fully intend to bring to completion. He has laid foundations in past time in this congregation. He has done things last year, in years past, that He is going to bring to completion in this year. And so with joy and thanksgiving, we enter this year with rejoicing and thanksgiving, already praising God for what He is going to do. Great things our God has done, and great things He will continue to do. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ, if you are outside of Him, the gospel is that Jesus Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. We are to believe on Him. We are to trust in Him, to trust in His perfect righteousness. The Bible commands that we are to repent. We are to turn away from serving ourselves, from serving the world, from serving the devil, and to offer ourselves as living sacrifices at the feet of Jesus Christ. We are to be baptized for the remission of our sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then to live the rest of our days as servants of Jesus Christ. If this is your desire, I would urge that you would come forward this morning to receive Him in baptism. If you have any other prayers of the church for restoration, I would also encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christian, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast times. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.